Hello, my name is Brian Charlson, and as a member of the American Council of the Blind ACB radio team, I've been asked to conduct an interview, and today we have as our guest somebody I think most people don't know about. They probably heard the name of the company here during the convention a few times because they're a major sponsor of ACB. But I think they have a lot more to tell us. I'm actually going to allow you to introduce yourself a bit here because I know I'm going to butcher that beautiful name of yours.
So my name is Preeti Kumar, and you're right, many people do butcher it, but in a good connotation usually, right? Not a bad way. So I'm the CEO of DQ Systems, and very happy to be sponsoring ACB and looking forward to strengthening this relationship over the next few years.
Your company has been around for how long?
I founded DQ in 1999.
How would you go about describing the core purpose of your company? What is it, the nature of its products and services?
Very simple. It's really, really simple, Brian. What we do, what we've been determined to do for the last decade, is end website discrimination. So what does that mean? When somebody goes with a screen reader to a website and they want to be able to navigate it, they want to be able to use it just like a sighted user would, and they start encountering all kinds of obstacles like an image without an alternative description, that whole process occurs because people are not coding the websites correctly. It's a very simple thing to do, and yet as you go into big corporations and organizations, you realize that there is education is the biggest problem. You know, of course, giving them tools to sustain it, to make it easy is a problem, but education, just knowing about it, is a big problem. So it's been our mission to end that ignorance, really.
And is this cross-disability or blindness and low vision specific?
You know, it's cross-disability. However, I think that people who are blind are probably the most challenged in terms of using websites. And we have found that if we address the challenges for people using screen reading devices, we address a lot of the other problems of other disabilities.
There are a number of different companies out there that provide some services around the subject of website accessibility. Some of them have created automated tools to evaluate websites. Others take those tools one step farther and make recommendations on which of the issues that are pointed out by way of these tools should have priority in terms of alteration to make it the site, if not 100% accessible, dramatically more accessible. Yet other companies do things such as user testing and ongoing monitoring. What differentiates your company from those companies?
So, Brian, we have a lot of worthy competitors in this field, and all of them have found their own niche, right? Some of them overlap with what we do. What DQ does spectacularly well is we take care of your entire problem. We've got and built the deep expertise in our services team, our services delivery team. We've got partnerships with the best of the best in accessibility because we know that no one company can do it all. We have focused on the software product suite, and what we have done different is we've decided we're going to really take this to the mainstream developers. We are going to make it so that not just a few accessibility experts know about accessibility, but every single web developer has access to our technology. It resonates with them, and they know how to use it. So I think that's what makes us a little different.
It seems pretty clear that the first step toward that is simply making companies aware that an issue exists.
Yes.
And what their resources are to remedy those issues.
Yeah.
How do you go about marketing your services to those companies?
You know, we're not good marketers, Brian. I'll be very, very honest with you. We are technologists. We're very good at technology. And that has been a traditional weak spot of DQ's marketing. However, we have recently discovered that nothing is as effective as a viral factor. That means people loving the technology and tweeting about it. People loving the technology and doing a like on Facebook and distributing it, you know, to other friends. Hey, go check this out.
So you have a product that is a free product.
Yes.
That's out there and hopefully becoming viral. What's the nature of that product?
Brian, the product is called Fire Eyes. It's you can download that from our website, www.dequ.com, which is DEQUE.com. The product Fire Eyes is a free plugin, and I said free, not fee. I will make that distinction.
Yeah, that's okay.
You can download it from our website, and it plugs into a tool called Firebug, which is a Firefox browser extension. It's a tool that is used by a lot of the Web 2.0 developers, the modern day web developers, to do their testing. So it's logical that you put accessibility testing right in there with Firebug. And that's what FireMice does. It helps developers, as they're developing code, to make sure they've got accessibility built in from the get-go.
Now, many of my friends who do web development talk about testing their websites against a variety of browsers. Does the fact that we're talking Firefox here suggest that this same tool would or would not assist in making sure that a website is accessible for those who use Internet Explorer?
Great question, Brian. No, because we are actually inspecting based upon a set of standards, whether it's Section 508 or it is the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines from the World Wide Web Consortium. Those are the standards that we're testing against. We don't rely on the rendering of just one. What I mean is, what you see in Firefox is not the only thing that we are testing. We are going against the document object model. We are also making sure we are invoking or triggering all events that you would see in the different browsers. So actually, we are testing for all different browsers. And I should mention that FireEyes started off as a Firebug plugin alone. Since then, because of customers' requests, we have also released an Internet Explorer add-in.
But in both cases, they're actually looking at the base code.
Yes.
And if they follow the appropriate standards as established by the World Wide Web Consortium,
yes,
in terms of accessibility through the WAY project, etc., that they will render pages that will be equally accessible under Firefox browsing and Internet Explorer browsing.
That's correct.
Does that extend also to the Apple platform?
Yes, it does.
Now, you get this product, you put it out there, it gets everybody excited about this, it develops a reputation for DQ relative to, wow, look what they did here for me, it's a free product. Where does DQ, if you will, make its business happen as a result of that?
So how do we make money? That's the question, right?
That's the question.
Nothing angers developers more than if we were to give a free tool and then make it into a paid a tool, which is just not right in my mind. Nor do I feel very good about really stripping down the tool, making features unavailable to people. So we decided the logical distinction in terms of the software product and the revenue that we're going to be making from that is that of when people will need enterprise features like a dashboard, they are going to be willing to pay for it. So we have a separate enterprise product that connects with FireEye. It's one logical suite, if you will. But if you want the enterprise features like the dashboard, then you have to pay for it. And that's very clear and disclosed up front.
If I'm a large company or a government entity, and I start my developers out there who are supporting what my organization is doing online, and they start using this free tool, and they get really excited about what it's capable of doing, they're then going to advocate with the company slash agency that to take this and apply it to the entire corporate or government entity, we need to get the dashboard because it's really going to empower us to do things across our network.
And you can have your own organization standards in the paid for
tool. So it's configurable to our needs and our structure.
Exactly.
Now, is there training involved in this as well?
Yeah, Brian. My product team knows my philosophy very well. My philosophy is make it so simple, no training is required. But we definitely have a full suite of courses that we offer, both in terms of the theory of knowing accessibility and the practice of implementing it, and then specific training around our products.
Now, I'm going to loop back because most of our listeners are going to be people who use accessibility to products like screen readers, screen magnifiers, refreshable braille displays as their interface to the world of the web.
Yeah.
When your products go through things, I know some of our members are WindowEyes users, and they kind of, in all honesty, have had it up to their eyebrows over, yeah, well, it works well with JAWS. Or a person who uses Braille products and all the talk about accessibility is, but it works with speech. When we talk about accessibility in your definition of the term, is there any distinction between them?
You know, I'm a very practical person. I'm also a person who believes that there shouldn't be a monopoly. So I believe in letting the users choose the tools that work best for them. Again, luckily we have standards to test against rather than testing against the implementations done by specific screen access technologies, right? So what works well in JAWS and what works well in WindowEyes, what works well in NVDA, all of them are going to be changing with every release. And it can change, go back and forth. We've seen that happen many, many times. So it's best to code to the standards. What we've done is we've done a very, what I believe is a really neat thing. We've embedded into our tools a screen reader emulation technology. But we've taken the screen reader output and translated that to a visual overlay. So a developer can see and feel and experience exactly what a screen reader would experience, a user would experience. So if you as a screen reader user cannot go click on a link because it's not keyboard navigable, that developer will not be able to click on that link.
Thank you for being here with us today.
Brian, and ACB members, thank you very much for having me and interviewing me for this. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, let the record show, it's 1:45, and some of us are ready to go. However, we're missing some key members of the Resolutions Committee. So we'll get started shortly. Aaron, are you here?
I am indeed, Mr. President.
Well, would I be correct in saying that we have lots of door prizes?
We do indeed.
Why don't we just draw door prizes for a while?
I can work with that.
Okay, go.
First prize is a pen friend. And here's Jackie to read the name.
It's you record your voice onto self-adhesive labels, I guess. That's what this is. The first name I've drawn is Charlie Crawford from Maryland.
Not here.
Okay. Christopher Bell from Minnesota.
We've lost Mr. Bell.
Daniel Kaiser from California.
If you don't hear him, he's not in here.
California, is Dan Kaiser here?
No.
His voice carries, I would have known.
Kimberly Klein from Indiana.
Not here.
I've got a Brian Connors from California.
Brian's gone. I think we need to get the message out to folks that ACB conventions conclude on Friday afternoon.
Yes. Nellie Emerson from California.
She's a delegate.
Okay, Nellie's gone.
John Sims from Georgia. Yay.
John Sims, you're here?
Uh-huh. Here.
All right.
Judy?
Okay. Here's
you're
a
ready.
Digital voice.
You're welcome.
Not a problem. The resolutions chair is back, so we'll draw a couple more door prizes while she's getting set up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. Next prize is a Olympus DM digital stereo recorder.
Nice prize.
Linda Yax from Colorado.
All right, happy birthday, Linda.
There you go.
Put your hand up, hon. Oh, there she is right on the corner. Congratulations.
All right. Hello.
Here, how about a $25
door? Sit down, relax. Judy just got here. Another door prize, Aaron.
All right, I've got one right here. $25 from the Florida Council of the Blind.
Patricia Harlan from Maryland.
I do believe the lady is present.
Yay.
Stand up, because they're way in the back and you're way in the front.
Stand up.
Do you see her? She's up front here.
Got her.
Hey.
Keep going, Aaron.
Okay. $25 from ACB of Pennsylvania.
Mr. President, I'm ready whenever you're
all
ready.
All right, Judy. After we draw this one.
Right. Gretchen Maughan from Missouri.
Well, I bet Gretchen's here.
She's here.
Yeah.
Put your hand up, Gretchen. Oh, we see her. There she is. Okay, thanks.
You see her?
I'm right here.
All right, jump up and down or do something.
Mr. President.
Let's have, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to I hear you, Carla.
Okay.
Let's reconvene for the final session this afternoon. And Carla has an announcement.
Yes. This is from registration. There are exactly 8 banquet tickets left as of about 3 minutes ago. There are 3 beef, 4 chicken, and 1 vegetarian. If you would like a banquet ticket, please go directly to registration. Do not pass go. And obtain a banquet ticket. Also, if you are a life member and you plan to attend the reception this evening, you will want to pick up your ticket for a free drink. You need to also go to registration to pick that up if you have not already done that. No, they are not all gone.
Well, no. Settle. The, unless they didn't print up enough for us life members, they've got to have some more.
I just spoke with registration, and they are asking you to come and pick up your ticket.
Donna and I will be there as soon as the session ends.
Okay. Registration will be closing very soon, so you might want to send someone. They're supposed to close at 2 today. They're going to stay open a few minutes longer.
All Mr.
Right.
President,
not much
I'd be
longer.
Happy to go for you and Donna
right
now.
To get
now.
Your ticket.
I'm sorry. I have two ears. I can only hear two conversations at once.
This is your chair of your resolutions committee. I'm volunteering to go for you and Donna to get your ticket right now.
Yeah, but you've got to do
I'm
a resolution.
I'm teasing.
Donna, can you take care of that, please? Okay. I've never turned
I
down a
free
drink in
my life. I actually just sent our alternate delegate away because they needed to do something, so I'm the delegate in here
okay.
right now. So as soon as he comes back, I will go.
Hold on. We've got a volunteer.
Thank you.
Let me, Donna.
Oh, thank you, Jay. Jay's going to go get our tickets. All right, Ms. Jackson.
All right.
Front and center.
All right, here we go. This is resolution 1115, and it is the title of it is to revoke the Medicare and low vision device exclusion rule, and this is brought to us by Alan Peterson. Whereas the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services CMS, issued a final rule in November 2008, which unreasonably applies the Medicare statute's exclusion of coverage for eyeglasses and contact lenses to prohibit coverage for all low vision devices, and whereas this unacceptable regulation specifically provides that all devices, irrespective of their size, form, or technological features, that use one or more lenses to aid vision are to be excluded from coverage under Medicare. And whereas this interpretation of the so-called eyeglass exclusion prevents Medicare beneficiaries with vision loss from benefiting from the use of medically necessary low vision devices, which would have allowed them to read prescriptions and other materials containing content vital to their personal health and safety, and whereas people on fixed incomes, including many seniors and people with disabilities, often find the cost of low vision devices prohibitive and are therefore not able to purchase them, and whereas the expansion of the statutory eyeglass exclusion to bar any technology that uses one or more lenses for the primary purpose of aiding vision is discriminatory and unwarranted public policy, which will serve as a disincentive to researchers and innovators in the development of new and progressive technologies that maximize the use of residual vision.
Could we have a little less murmuring going on my right, left side of the... Thank you.
And whereas prior to the issuance of the regulations, it was clearly demonstrated that a small number of consumers who went through a lengthy appeals process could occasionally be approved for a CCTV magnifier or similar device. And whereas, given the small number of durable medical equipment appeals that were approved, the adoption of this new interpretation of the regulation is capricious, arbitrary, and unjust. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization advocate for the prompt enactment of federal legislation to vacate the CMS regulation barring coverage for all low vision devices employing lenses and to establish clear coverage criteria for the fullest possible Medicare reimbursement for low vision devices. And the committee recommends a do pass.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We began this initiative earlier this year because it really has been long-standing ACB policy. But this resolution certainly crystallizes our position, makes it clear what we're going to do. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is adopted. Judy, before lunch, I asked for a specific number, and there was a little confusion. Minus the resolution we've just passed, can you give me an absolute number? What remains?
If I have counted everything correctly, I believe that we have 5 left, and that is...
That does not include
the thank yous. And I would respectfully request, Mr. President, that you would allow us to accept those thank yous as a block.
That would be fine when we get to them. So we have 5 more substantive resolutions. I may win my bet with myself.
Well, can I receive the proceeds of your bet?
No, those proceeds may, be kind of seed money at the blackjack table or something.
Well...
I have an over-under bet.
Mr. President, are you suggesting she's not an appropriate backtrack prayer?
No, I'm just saying that I'm the one who will be making the wager.
Well, I hate it when that happens.
Do you want us to do another one, or are we going to do a door prize?
All right, next resolution.
Yes, Call sir.
1116.
This is 16. And I went past the title to start reading. It's got a nice long title for you, Marlena. It is support for detectable warnings to be installed in the public right-of-way, as well as on or within public accommodations and commercial facilities. Got it? Good.
Repeat that.
I will. As well as at or within public accommodations and commercial facilities. All right. Whereas detectable warnings surfaces are an important and valuable aid to navigation for blind and visually impaired pedestrians, alerting them as to when they are approaching an intersection, hazardous particular area, or the edge of rail platforms. And whereas the features of complex intersections are not easily identified with the use of a white cane or through tactile contact, and whereas current access board regulations fail to provide protection for people who are blind or have low vision by their failure to recognize the need for detectable warnings in vehicular ways. And whereas, except for certain transportation facilities, current ADA standards for accessible design do not require installation of detectable warning surfaces in either public rights of way or in private public accommodations and commercial facilities. And whereas, the U.S. Access Board is scheduled to issue a notice of proposed rulemaking this summer regarding a public rights-of-way guideline, which is expected to propose requiring installation of detectable warning surfaces, and whereas it will take years for the U.S. Access Board to issue a final public rights-of-way guideline, which will still have to be reviewed and adopted by the U.S. Department of Justice as an enforceable ADA accessibility design standard, and whereas even if detectable warning surfaces are required to be installed in the public rights-of-way years from now, detectable warnings will still not be required at or within places of public accommodation and commercial facilities. And whereas having inconsistent ADA accessibility standards for detectable warnings in similar contexts is poor public policy and may call into question and ultimately undermine the legitimacy of requiring detectable warnings in the public rights of way, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind that ACB's national staff are directed to contact both the U.S. Access Board and the U.S. Department of Justice to emphasize the pressing need to revise the 2010 ADA standard for accessible design or take other actions to require installations of detectable warning surfaces at curb ramps, blended transitions, roadway medians, islands, and roundabout splitter islands, and low-slope blended transitions to crossings and other components of pedestrian networks found at or within public accommodations and commercial facilities. And be it further resolved that the American Council of the Blind's national staff and all ACB affiliates and members are requested to support this vital initiative by providing written public comment to the U.S. Access Board in response to its notice of proposed rulemaking on its public rights of way guideline, emphasizing the need for requiring installation of detectable warning surfaces in the public right-of-way as well as at or within places of public accommodations and commercial facilities. The Resolutions Committee recommends a due pass.
We have a motion and second to adopt this resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Uh-huh. Opposed? Resolution is adopted. Aaron?
Yeah.
I
am here.
We're going to go back to doing a resolution followed by a door prize.
All right. First door prize is from the Guide Dog Foundation, and it's a stuffed dog.
What do you want to do next?
Maria Guerrero from New Mexico?
Yeah, why not?
Is Maria here? Maria Guerrero from New Mexico.
Margaret.
Do you want to explain them?
She's
thank
gone.
You. Thank
okay.
you. Margaret Sfredo from Carson City, Nevada. Sfredo? Frito? Do you know that? Who that is?
Okay. Apparently not.
Darian Fleming from Oregon.
Darian's here, I think.
All the way in the back.
Do you see her?
Yes, thank you.
All right, very good. Judy?
While our next presenter, we like to share the pain and glory around here. So our next presenter to do two of the next two resolutions is Jeff Tom. And the reason is because there were some concerns that we as a committee had with these resolutions. And I'll tell you on the outset that these two resolutions are going to be referred to the Board of Publications. And because both Paul and I serve on that board, we felt that it would be better to have another committee member read those and explain why we're referring them. So I'm going to pass this over to Jeff, and I'm just going to help him get started because he's on my machine. Just a second.
Okay. Deja vu moment for an old chair. See, people won door prizes already. They know what they're getting. 1102, this is access to electronic distribution resources. Whereas the American Council of the Blind sponsors an electronic media distribution service it calls ACB Radio, and whereas operating this valuable global resource incurs significant costs for hardware, software, maintenance, staffing, and rights management, especially the rights to distribute music content. And whereas these costs are presently borne exclusively by the American Council of the Blind, and whereas not all the content producers availing themselves of this worldwide distribution venue are members of the American Council of the Blind, and whereas some of these producers offer content which promotes a commercial product, service, or business entity without financial compensation to the American Council of the Blind, now therefore be it resolved that all American Council of the Blind electronic distribution resources, including and especially ACB radio, and any future similar provision, shall be available only to content producers who are members in good standing of the American Council of the Blind. And be it further resolved, the providers of content distributed on these valuable and extensive resources remunerate the American Council of the Blind commensurately with the prorated costs of providing and maintaining the service they use, especially royalties, for copyrighted content. And be it further resolved, the providers of content containing commercial promotion remunerate the American Council of the Blind for use of ACB radio or any future similar service at a reasonable premium over the cost of providing and maintaining the services they use. And the committee recommends that this was submitted by John Javons, and the committee recommends that this resolution be referred to the Publications Committee, and I so move.
We have a motion and a second to refer this resolution to the Board of Publications for review and a recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion to refer? Hearing none, all those in favor of this motion signify by saying aye. Opposed? The resolution is referred to the Board of Publications. Door prize?
We're ready for that.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
We have about, a lot of door prizes, so I'm trying to... Because tonight, whatever we don't wrap up, we'll be doing at the banquet, but let's try to get a flock of them out of the way this afternoon. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. Thank you, sir. ACB of Texas, $25.
William Benjamin from Florida.
Yeah, I figured William might be. All right, let's do the second of that pair of resolutions.
Okay, oops. This is 1108, electronic mailing lists, and this is also submitted by Mr. Javons. Whereas the American Council of the Blind sponsors electronic mailing lists which permit asynchronous electronic discussion. And whereas sponsoring these lists incurs significant costs for operation and maintenance, and whereas these costs are borne by the American Council of the Blind, now therefore be resolved that all American Council of the Blind electronic email discussion lists shall be open only to members in good standing of the American Council of the Blind, and be it further resolved that one-way mailing lists used for the purpose of disseminating information such as announcements and publications to both members of the American Council of the Blind and the general public shall be open to all who may subscribe to them, regardless of their membership status in the American Council of the Blind. The committee, due to reasons of both policy and potential validity, recommends that this also be referred to the Publications Committee, and I so move.
Motion and a second. Basically, we have the leadership list, which is open to up to three members from affiliates, state and special interests, as well as committee chairs. We have the ACB, general ACB list, which is open to anyone. Actually, we have four lists, come to think of it now. So we have the ACBL list, which is general but deals with blindness-specific issues. We now have ACB Chat, which is a broader list allowing folks to discuss political topics. And then there is the announce list, which is a vehicle for providing information about the organization, news releases, and so on and so forth. So while I'm talking, artists, about the lists, the more broader-based lists, but, yeah, we have membership and many of our we have other lists as well. So this would refer to the Board of Publications a discussion, a policy. Do we want the list, ACBL primarily, I think, and chat to only be open to members? Do we, Marlena, you want to say something?
Yeah. I would like to speak against the recommendation to refer this to the Board of Publications. One of the great honors and joys and privileges of being affiliated with this organization is that we are open to listening to everyone. And while certainly there are specific people who belong on leadership lists, that's for the leadership of the organization, ACBL and the chat and the announce list are our showpieces, along with the Braille Forum and ACB Radio. And I hope that we will deal with this now. We're an open, above-the-board organization, and we welcome the input from anyone who wants to take the time to give it. Thank you.
All right. Michael Byington speaking in favor of referral.
All right, Michael.
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution contains some materials in it which, from a legal standpoint, need to be checked out and considered. Essentially, it is suggesting that we restrict materials which have previously been available to the public. Now, the concern about that are some IRS rules, of which a number of the members of the committee were aware, that suggests that you cannot have certain pieces of information inuring only to your members. If we were to put this resolution on the floor, even with a do not pass recommendation from the committee, there is that outside chance. I don't think it's going to happen in ACB, but there is that outside chance that someone would move to adopt this resolution instead, and that, in fact, the resolution would receive serious consideration when it might be illegal to do it. Therefore, the proper action seemed to be to refer. There certainly may be a productive dialogue that will take place between the maker of the resolution and the Board of Publication, but we cannot take the risk of putting something on the floor possibly for positive action, which might put the organization in a situation of breaking the law. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Anyone wish to
Dutmer
speak?
Casey Dutmer from
Michigan. I want to hear from someone who wishes to speak in opposition.
Well, I have a question of point of information question.
All right, Casey.
If this, these, the first one and this one, if they should pass, will the Board of Publications to come back and make another resolution, or how will we know what the process will be or what's going on in the process regarding this, these two resolutions?
Well, I think the intent, well, Paul, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, Mr. President.
We're getting in the mic.
I have a mic, but it's just not on. Jay, can I, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, I guess this is the second time you've heard from me this week as chair of the Board of Publications. We actually got a resolution referred to us last year. What we will generally do is at our meetings, we'll invite the individual to come and present his ideas and suggestions, and we'll try to see what we can take from them that we can appropriately use and how we can incorporate his particular concerns
into what we do as the body that is required by the American Council of the Blind to oversee both email lists and also ACB radio. I think the motion to refer, even as chair of the Board of Publications, is probably the right answer for these two. And I think, frankly, that the gentleman will get much better hearing from the Board of Publications than he might get were his resolution to have gone to the floor with the recommendation it would have had to have received from our committee, which would have been a do not pass.
Mr. President.
But to carry, hold on, Chris, but to carry Casey's point one step further, is it your thinking that you will report back on both of these matters next year?
I can if you like. I haven't with regard to the other because the last motion to refer actually got an immense amount of public play because it was a resolution brought to us by Mr. Mitchell from Utah. And in fact, we discussed what he wanted extensively at mid-year and again at this convention. So, but if this body would like to hear back what we decide with regard to these resolutions, I'd be glad to make a report.
I think that would be appropriate.
Mr. Chairman.
I heard Chris Gray first.
Okay.
Are you speaking in favor, Chris?
No.
We had an oppose and a
I
for.
Think you're ready for an against, I think.
For an oppose, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I hear... my friend Michael's point. But to me, that point it has more to do with gamesmanship than reality. This organization is not going to pass this resolution, and personally, I don't want to see the Board of Publications wasting its time on something as ridiculous as we're hearing here. Vote no to refer, and then let's not waste any time voting no on the resolution and getting it out of our hair.
All right, thank you. Someone wishing to speak in favor? Then we will vote on the motion to refer. All those in favor of the motion to refer this resolution to the Board of Publications signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
I believe the motion to refer is defeated.
Me too.
So, we at this point have a resolution with no recommended action. Someone minded to do that? Or do you want it to go to the floor without a recommendation, in which case someone from the floor would need to make a motion?
That would be the stance of this committee.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Margie, I believe.
Is it appropriate at this time to recommend a do not pass?
No.
Thank you.
Someone would have to recommend or move that the resolution be adopted, then we'd vote it up or down.
Well, Mr. President.
Yes, Chris.
With no motion on the floor.
We have one.
No, there is no motion on the floor.
We do. Yes, we do.
Chris.
There's no recommendation.
No. Chris, if the committee doesn't wish to make a recommendation, someone from the floor may do so. And
yes.
Someone has.
Somebody, okay.
Yeah, someone
that's
has.
Ruling.
Yeah, we
you,
have.
You,
a,
also, you also could have just moved on.
So what is the motion now where we are?
There is a motion. There, someone toward the back of the room has moved the adoption of this resolution. Is there a second? All right. So at least we now can have some discussion. Does someone want to speak in favor?
Mr. Chairman, Ray Campbell speaking against.
All right. Is there anyone wishing to speak in favor first? There is not.
Why don't you?
Therefore, let us vote.
Okay.
All those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
The motion is defeated. The resolution.
There you go. A cameo appearance.
Let me ask the Resolutions Committee a question, and I may be jumping the gun. Is there a resolution dealing with the Department of Transportation and bringing their service animal guidelines into a sync with Department of Justice? I guess not.
No, the that that resolution did not get written, and I'm not, I think it did not get written because some of us thought that it had been written. Mr. Chair, it had to do with the fact that there was a dog eyed resolution which ended up praising what was going on in airports, and some of us thought that was the TSA one.
No. Next year, I will put in writing the request. What I had asked for, folks, was with the change in the definition of service animals, thankfully by the Department of Justice, Department of Transportation hasn't taken similar action. So you can bring your service python on the bus, but you can't bring it into the restaurant. And I thought perhaps it would be good if the two agencies had similar language.
But it actually doesn't need to be in the restaurant to eat.
No. Thank you, Paul, for bringing that to our attention. Next resolution.
All right. Let's see. You want to go? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do a door prize.
That's a good decision.
All right.
In honor of
Thank
the
you.
Python.
Thank you, Mitch.
Aaron, go ahead.
We've got from the Alaska Council of the Blind, $50.
Do you want to do?
Mary Kirkland from Georgia.
You can. Is Mary here? I don't know if I heard she's here or she's not here.
There's been no response.
We've got some really soft-spoken people in this affiliate, in this organization. And then we have Margie. I'll take it that Ms. Kirkland is not here.
But she's our little Margie.
Yeah. Yes.
Gilberto Melendez from California.
Okay. Gilberto is gone.
Kevin Miner from Kentucky.
Oh, Kevin, are you here? You're here, Kevin?
No, gone.
Oh, see, here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. I heard somebody up the left end of the room say, "I'm here, Mitch," or something. Oh, that was Washington. We know you're here. We all know you're here.
No, it's fine.
Go ahead.
Julia Toyama from Hawaii.
Julie Toyama.
Toyama. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know you are, yeah.
No, that's fine.
All
Mr.
right.
Mr. President.
Is that Karen?
No, this is Donna Seliger.
Oh, Donna.
I would like to make an announcement when it is appropriate.
You can do it now.
Pardon?
You can do it now.
Thank you very much. The Friends of the Library in Iowa are having a fundraiser on October 15th, if you would either go online or go into a physical store of Barnes & Noble, there is a code that you give them. You'll get a discount on your purchase, and part of the proceeds will go to the Friends of the Library in Iowa. And the code is 10405843. If you didn't get that and you want it, call my room at 1846. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right, Donna. Next resolution.
This is another resolution from the Information Access Committee, and it is on Apple iOS app accessibility. And it's 11:19, Madam Secretary.
And it really is 11:19.
That's what she says now.
And I'm sorry, the title again, I was getting some other information.
Well, look at you.
I know. No, don't.
Apple iOS app accessibility.
Got it.
Whereas, through the implementation of the iOS operating system, Apple has created a successful ecosystem of hundreds of thousands of apps that fall in categories such as navigation, productivity, entertainment, education, news, and social networking. And whereas many of the apps in the iOS ecosystem have the capacity to increase independence of people who are blind and visually impaired by providing information about their environment that has not been readily available until now. And whereas a majority of the apps in the iOS ecosystem are not currently accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired, who must rely on assistive technologies, and whereas Apple has made available human interface design guidelines and testing tools that could make many of the apps accessible and usable by people who are blind or visually impaired, who use built-in accessibility features like VoiceOver and Zoom. And whereas ways must be found to encourage more iOS app developers to follow these guidelines, now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind. That this organization strongly encourages Apple to take steps that would incentivize iOS app developers to make their apps fully accessible by doing the following. Create a rating system that provides a consistent method of measuring the accessibility of apps, which could be applied across all iOS apps. Next, create a category of accessible apps in the iOS App Store that would make the discoverability of apps more readily achievable and that would highlight app developers who have made concerted efforts to achieve product accessibility. Next, create a specific category for accessibility to be used when Apple awards app developers for best of design. Take additional steps to make available tools and documentation to developers whose apps are not accessible. And be it further resolved that the officers, directors, and staff of this organization take all appropriate steps to work with Apple's management to implement the outcomes of this resolution, and be it further resolved that this organization make available to Apple the assistance of the ACB Information Access Committee. The resolution's committee recommends a due pass.
All right. My feet hurt. We need a long resolution. Any discussion regarding this resolution? Hearing none.
Mr. President.
Hearing one. Who seeks the floor?
This is Ron Milliman.
Yes, sir.
I strongly support this. First of all, I want to make sure that's very clear. But is there some way we can incorporate in there for which we highly commend Apple? I don't want any, even the slightest hint that we're being negative towards Apple, because they have really, really, really opened up some doors for us.
Well,
and as an extension to that, wouldn't it be great if we could get some mileage out of this for our organization by saying it's received the ACB endorsement? In other words, on accessible apps, if we go to the work of reviewing them, helping them, couldn't we actually say ACB endorsement?
We on the committee think, Ron, that Apple will remember the fact that we passed a commendatory resolution either last year or the year before when the iPhone first came out. They absolutely know that we approve of what they do. I think as well that the tenor of our resolution is warm and friendly and suggests that we want to work closely with them. This differs substantially from a resolution that was passed by another organization a week ago, which essentially condemned Apple and basically told them to make all their apps accessible and do it now and or else. So our feeling is, Ron, that our resolution, by the way that it's written, will accomplish what you're looking for?
I understand. My point, though, is from a PR standpoint of view, you know, I'm a marketer,
if
we could say ACB endorsed or something like that, where we get some additional
Ron, let me jump in here. The board is working on a specific corporate relationship policy where we might, under very specific circumstances, endorse products. So I think that to use the term endorse at this time is premature, because we may have a far more descriptive and professional approach to that terminology at some point in the not too distant future.
Mr. President, this is Pratik Patel.
Pratik.
Thank you, sir. When it comes to implementing this resolution and working with the national office, the IAC will most certainly assure Apple of the commendable job that they've done with the iOS operating system and the apps that they've put in place. So be assured that even though it's not stated directly in this resolution, we have past resolutions that we will rely upon when communicating with Apple.
Mr. President?
Who seeks the floor?
This is Melanie Brunson.
Yeah, Melanie.
Thank you. Also, I appreciate where Ron is coming from, but at this point, we've already met with Apple. They know that we commend what they're doing. And right now, endorsement isn't something that would be of benefit to our relationship with them. They're not really going down that road seeking endorsements at this point anyway. So I appreciate where Ron is coming from, I think that it's not necessary at this point to accomplish what we need to accomplish. What we need for Apple and the good relationship we already have is to confirm what we do need them to do, and that's what this resolution seeks to accomplish.
Very good. All right, hearing no more calls for the floor, ladies and gentlemen, all those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is adopted. Let's have two door prizes, Aaron.
All righty. Here's my mom to read the first one.
Okay.
This one's not Braille. It's an Eclipse Media Server, a disc, I guess.
Let's have order, please.
Eclipse Media Server. The winner is Greta Ahart from California.
She's gone.
She's not here.
Okay, how about Charles Goodwin from California?
Got it.
We did.
There are a lot of Californians. Well, there were a lot of
Lorene
Californians.
Lorene Kukino from Hawaii.
Hold on.
Lorene. Lorene?
She's not here. Okay.
Darren Burton from West Virginia.
He's not here.
He's not here.
Nancy Tooley from Kentucky.
That would have been great.
Catalina Rosium from Minnesota. Kelly Hartman from Arizona. Oh, we have her right up here in the red.
All right, do we have a winner?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's do one more.
Go ahead. Oh, good, doing another door prize. Oh, good.
$25 Visa gift card.
What's the actual?
From the Missouri Council of the Blind.
Kelly Hartman from Arizona.
Was that a here?
Yep.
Very good. All right. Back to regularly scheduled programming. Judy, Paul?
Go ahead.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Who seeks the floor?
Carrie Regan, ACB students.
Yes, Carrie.
All right. I just want to, first of all, thank everybody for all of your support this week. This has been a banner week for ACB students. We've had such record attendance at our events, especially comedy night, so thank everyone for buying our raffle tickets and coming to our events. But my big announcement is we have snacks. I know you're all hungry. It's a long day. So if you are hungry, come on down to the NABS table or the ACB students table, whichever we are. I know. I broke my own rule. yes. So come on down to the ACB students table. We are selling all of our snacks for $1 until 4:30, at which time we will be giving them away. So don't wait. Come on down, support NABS, and
Carrie.
Yes.
A bit of friendly advice. You just gave away your hold card.
Okay.
They'll wait till 4:31. You shouldn't have told them that.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm a few minutes early. Yes.
Yes, you are.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Judy.
Yes, sir. We're ready. All right. This is, Madam Secretary, resolution number 1120. And it is on full funding of vocational rehabilitation services for the blind and visually impaired. Whereas states across the United States are experiencing historic downturns in revenue and are finding it necessary to cut expenses wherever possible, and whereas the federal government is seeking to reduce the deficit by slashing levels of funding and sometimes whole programs, and whereas the American Recovery and in one moment, yes, it, but it was just misspelled, so that's why I was like, American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, ARRA, funding dollars, which was being used in many states for funding some rehabilitation services, will be ending this year. And whereas, what is that? I think roughly 80% of the dollars available for vocational rehabilitation come from federal services, while states provide roughly 20% and must provide their full share in order to, quote, draw down, close quote, all available federal dollars. And whereas this combination of increasing demand and decreased funding results in many qualified people with disabilities being forced to wait months before receiving any services. Therefore, be it resolved that this organization urge Congress and the Rehabilitation Services Administration to work with states to ensure that rehabilitation services are provided to eligible citizens without delay. And be it further resolved that ACB's officers, directors, staff, and members urge Congress to maintain enough funding to state rehabilitation programs so that disabled and especially blind and visually impaired citizens are fully prepared for jobs commensurate with their knowledge, education, and experience. And be it further resolved that ACB's officers, staff, and the Rehabilitation Issues Task Force are hereby requested to work with affiliates in advocating with their state legislatures to provide sufficient state funding to draw down all potentially available federal funds. This committee recommends a due pass.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
You do? Okay.
Opposed? Resolution is adopted. Two door prizes.
All right. $25 from Utah Council of the Blind.
Okay. Carolyn Kobe from Minnesota. Carolyn, is that okay?
Yeah,
is her hand
right.
up? Yep. The next door prize is from Handy Tech. It is a Mac Academy study guide. It's a CD disc.
Wow.
And the winner is Becky Fawcett Monroe from Great Falls, Montana. Oh, right in front of me. Oh, great. Congratulations.
Two for two. You know, somebody would think my name didn't somehow get into that basket. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
It's an issue, Mr. President.
I know it is, Mr. Edwards.
I think it is.
Announcement?
Marlene is going to write a resolution expressing concern about my name not being in there.
No, my name.
Here.
Well, I'm the chair, and my name hasn't been called yet.
Oh, I'll call it. Judy Jackson, please proceed.
This is resolution. This is resolution number 1121, and it concerns light bulbs. It's something that blind folks ought to be writing about, but particularly low vision folks. Whereas President George W.
Hold on, Paul, Marlena. What do we call light bulbs?
Incandescent.
It's actually called incandescent light bulbs.
Incandescent light bulbs.
Okay.
Yeah, this will make sense to you.
Yes.
Immediately.
It actually will. Well, yeah. Whereas President George W. Bush signed into law the National Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007, NEICE, for the purpose of reducing the dependence of the United States on foreign and unsustainable energy sources and the risks of climate change, and whereas Section 321 of this act restricts the sale of regular incandescent light bulbs in favor of compact fluorescent lights starting in 2012. And whereas this section requires the initiation of a rulemaking procedure to determine whether even more restrictive standards on the manufacture of incandescent light bulbs should be adopted by 2014 to address environmental considerations. And whereas this section of NEIS imposes by providing for additional restrictions on the sale of incandescent light bulbs significant limitations on the independence and functioning of people with low vision and diminishes their ability to fully participate in society. And whereas persons with low visions require appropriate illumination in order to have optimal visual function, and whereas, since the eyes of each person with low vision respond differently to various light sources, such as fluorescent halogen light-emitting diodes and incandescent lighting, it is essential that such persons continue to have available the broadest possible array of choices in lighting options. And whereas incandescent lighting works best for many people with low vision to read, cook, sew, and perform other daily tasks, while the wrong lighting frequently causes headaches, eye strain, and glare, thus reducing the ability to independently function optimally at home and in the workplace. And whereas the NEICE will likely lead to the discontinued sale of the conventional incandescent light bulb. And whereas Senator Mike Enzi, Republican of Wyoming, has introduced Senate 395, which would repeal Section 321 of NEIS, albeit for reasons other than concerns about accommodations for people who have low vision. And whereas it is essential to the well-being of people who have low vision that the restrictions on the sale of incandescent light bulbs be delayed until such time as a suitable alternative lighting source can be found that both meets the needs of this population and addresses environmental concerns. Now, therefore, be it resolved. That this organization urged that light bulbs of all wattages continue to be available while manufacturers and researchers
work on producing a light source that uses less electricity while retaining the same lighting characteristics as incandescent bulbs. And be it further resolved that this organization support legislation such as S-395. And be it further resolved that this organization strongly encourages that S-395 be amended to specifically address the need for development of a lighting source that will meet both the needs of people who have low vision and address general environmental concerns. The Resolutions Committee recommends a due pass.
Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. And discussion, Mr. Byington.
There are a couple of just minor places where there may have been a redo or a data entry error that I want to correct for the record. They almost border on nitpicking, but not quite. In the first resolve clause, there was one point where you said that light bulbs, that should be incandescent light bulbs to make the resolution read properly in context.
Which whereas clause? So
first, no. First resolve clause.
Or first resolve clause. Okay.
Yes.
I've got it, Michael. Thank you.
Okay. The other one was at one point the reader inadvertently read low visions. And that should be low vision just for the record. Otherwise, we would be talking about having hallucinations out of our knees.
Yes, but they're little ones.
There are those who've accused me of having low visions.
Mr. Chairman, Roger Peterson.
Roger.
A point of information. Is there a reason, is there additional information that the committee had that led them to not put in the House version of the bill?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
It was defeated.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Okay, who
this
seeks
the Gene
floor?
Sanders from Florida.
Yes, Gene.
I think we ought to add to that, whereas these new light bulbs have mercury and are very, very dangerous to expose, to get rid of.
I was actually curious. Paul, did you and Judy, did you consider that that aspect, or did you feel it really wasn't relevant to the direct purpose of this resolution?
There's a train out there.
I don't know whether it's...
Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
But I think the danger of blind people and visually impaired are more apt to drop one or bump into it and not be able to dispose of it properly.
Yeah, well, no, I was asking the committee if there was some reason the issue...
No, we really didn't. I mean, for the most part, what we're concerned about is the fact that there are an awful lot of people with low vision at the moment who are in danger of finding it much more difficult to see. And we want to try to get them a reprieve.
Right.
And then it seems to me, once we get them the reprieve, we can then go after some of these issues.
Yeah, I think your point is correct, Gene. I think for purposes of this resolution, it's really not necessary, although the environmentalists among us here should be concerned because there's no safe way to store mercury in landfills.
Mr. Mitch?
Who is that?
This is Jay Daldner. I don't want to keep this going, but I do think that Gene has a point in that in addition to the problems of disposal, I've broken a couple of those things, and they break into a million pieces, and they're very dangerous to find, so be careful with them.
Mr. Chair?
Hold on. Who else seeks the floor?
David Ellingwood from Port Huron, Michigan.
David?
I want to speak to the fact about the Kelvin of the light bulb. A lot of times I'll use a 27, which I'm blind to, which is a very warm light. I think you guys could start looking at like a 6,500 or 5,000 Kelvin that's daylight, and maybe a lot could see better that way.
Yeah, David, I think...
Thanks, David.
Yeah, we're beginning to
point of interest.
Wander a little bit off the course.
Donna Pomerantz. Mr. Chair, I have a point of information or point of order.
What is your
point? Linda Yaks, point of order. When we're coming up here with amendments, friendly amendments... It's my understanding that the way this works is we ask for a friendly amendment. If the person, the maker or the bringer of the resolution says no to that amendment, there's no need to discuss it. Yeah, then Linda, they have to put it on the floor as an amendment.
Linda, there was no request for a friendly amendment. It was simply a question.
It was a wordsmith.
Gene's original question was whether the issue of breakage or disposal had been discussed. Donna Pomerantz?
Yes, Mr. President. Basically, the resolution came out of California, the CCCLV group, and we did talk about all the concerns with the breakage and the environmental issues and such, and our concern, and it sounds like the ACB Resolutions Committee, and of course as well CCLVI, agrees with those concerns. We don't want to, while these issues are very important and we have experienced them ourselves with the breakage and such, we don't want to dilute from the issue, which is keeping what works for us until they find an effective alternative. Our concerns are getting into a fight with the environmentalists, and there are a lot more of them, I think, than there are of us. So that's why we wanted to keep it the way it is at this point, and I'm thankful that the ACB Resolutions Committee also seems to support that.
Point of personal privilege.
Very good. Yes, Michael?
Representing the CCLVI Resolutions Committee, it was the intent of the transference of this resolution from California to the Resolutions Committee to CCLVI back to the committee again, which is the route that it had to go, to in the boilerplate, which was not read, say that the American Council of the Blind joins its special interest affiliate, Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, and I would like to make certain that that additional language noting CCLVI's support is in the boilerplate. Thank you.
It will be.
Will you accept?
Mr. President,
hold on,
we would regard
Paul.
That as friendly. There's,
all right,
there's no problem.
We'll be at it. Was that Nikki Kobe? I heard Kobe, I thought.
Right, I said now. It will be.
Okay. Okay. Hearing no immediate calls to the floor. All those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All right, so do that.
Resolution is adopted.
Mr. President?
Who seeks the floor?
Dan Spoon from Florida.
Yes, Dan.
I would just like to strongly encourage that with this passage of this resolution, that this be one of the items that Melanie and Eric consider to put on our legislative agenda for lobbying in February. I would really love to lobby for this, and for those of us with low vision, this is very important, and we could speak very passionately about it at Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
All right, very good. Door prizes.
Okay.
Did we adopt this?
All right, from the Virginia Association of the Blind.
Did we vote on this last one, Mr. President?
Yes.
We did. Okay.
We're all suffering from jet lag, and we haven't even boarded an airplane.
It's our sleep disorder.
Where's Vanda now that we need them? Go ahead.
Where have they been all week?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron.
From the Virginia Association of the Blind, peanuts and $50.
I don't have anything left in me to work.
This winner's from Utah.
Let's have order.
I'm going to need some help with the names. Fiong, I'm thinking Nyan.
Fong Nguyen.
Okay. Are they here? Put your hand up.
Yay! I believe she's here.
Okay, good.
He is here.
Is she here? He is here. Yeah. He.
Okay.
It's a boy.
Okay. Margie, please relax.
Thank you for going. Well, you want to do it last?
Let's have one more.
We've got it. Friends in Art. Fred Abel, Old Time Radio Show. The Feud in Old Time Radio Show.
And the winner is Terry Arnold from Missouri.
Is Terry's gone? Okay.
Noah Beckman from Ohio. Jay Hammond from Texas. John Bancroft from California.
He's probably gone.
June Horst from Pennsylvania.
Is she working registration? Registration's still open. We'll give it to her.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President?
Who seeks the floor?
Andrea DeMichio from Washington. Just a brief announcement.
Yes.
I left a spiral small notebook on the table over the break, and if anybody has found it, I'm sitting on the Washington group on the far table in the front. Thank you.
Okay. Judy.
Mr. President, the Resolutions Committee would like to move the adoption of the thank you resolutions as a block. And these resolutions include one extra thank you resolution that was asked for by Margie Donovan. And this concerns doing a specific thank you resolution to someone who really went out of her way to make it easy for people to get signed up for paratransit here in Reno and Sparks.
Paul, and no, I'm not going to ask you to read the resolutions, but for our newcomers here, can you explain to whom these resolutions are addressed?
Sure, Ken.
And give the numbers to Marlena.
I can. I'm going to let Judy give her the numbers in a minute, but let me explain the whole process. Generally, the American Council of the Blind does three thank you resolutions. One that goes to the staff of the hotel for the really cool service they've provided to us, and I think they've been outstanding.
And by the way, I was told just before we got started that some folks had lunch with Mr. Esquaga, and he said we're the best group he's ever had.
It's really nice that when you run across hotel owners who have good taste.
And who have lunch with their clients, with their customers.
Exactly. The second thank you resolution that we write is one that is always necessary, and that's one to the volunteers. And again, I don't know about you guys, but it's my view that without the volunteers, they'd be digging blind people out of snowbanks this winter. And the third resolution is again for a wonderful cause, and that is a resolution that we always write to the host affiliate for the huge amount of work they do to make this happen. And of course, in this case, we're doing a fourth resolution to this really cool paratransit lady.
Sue Sherman.
Whose name is Sue Sherman. And now Judy will tell you about the numbers.
Okay. And those will be 23, 24, 25, and 26. 23 being to the hotel, 24 being to the volunteers, 25 being to the host committee, and 26 being to Miss Sherman.
All right.
So we will do 1122.
Wait, we've got to get this approved first.
Oh. We have,
Mr. President?
Hold on, Carla. Okay. We have a recommendation from the committee to give all four of these a due pass.
Y'all have just been so agreeable, I just made an assumption.
Yes. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. President.
Carla?
Yes, in the resolution to the paratransit, it would be very appropriate to put the name of Lee Rogers in there as well.
Okay. Do you have a title for Lee Rogers, Carla?
I will get it for you.
Okay.
But she is actually in charge of the entire paratransit.
We'll be glad to add it.
I don't have a problem, but just for your information, what I did in that resolution was I put to Sue Sherman and her superiors so that I wouldn't, but I can certainly put Lee Rogers.
Right, because Sue wouldn't have been doing her thing without the great cooperation of
Very
Lee
good.
Rogers.
And I'll get with you to get proper spellings and stuff. Thank you,
President.
Carla.
Mr. President.
Mr. President.
The gentleman first, who seeks the floor?
It's William Benjamin.
Yes, William.
And Mitch, it just may seem frivolous, but I can't help but think we should send a resolution of thank you to John Esquanis.
John
Esquaga. I want to invite him to dinner. He's a honey.
He may still be married, Billie Jean. No, he is.
Well, he still eats dinner. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Paul and Judy, that resolution It's going to be specifically directed to him, is it not?
The hotel, yes.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, right. we can certainly send it directly to him and write
and
a cover letter as well.
And thank him directly for what a wonderful job his staff provided.
Yeah. I mean, we would typically send it through the staff that Carla recommends, but there'd be absolutely no reason why we couldn't do a cover letter directly to him with a copy of the resolution.
Good. I think given the fact that he came to address us, he's been here, we saw him in exhibits a couple of days ago, I think that's appropriate.
We'll do it.
All right. Any further discussion?
Mr. President.
Who seeks the floor?
This is Ken.
Yeah. Oh, welcome back.
Hello.
Ken.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that in regards to the hotel staff, and I think that I really need to mention this, they picked my wife up the other day. She actually asked them if they would get her a taxi to come and get me, and they actually sent their security person with her to get me and stop as well to get the prescriptions I needed. So they really went way out of their way.
Yeah, and that's really the experience that I think a lot of us have had. This hotel isn't easy to get around, and there have been some people who've gotten pretty worn out, and I've seen members of the security staff come from one end of the hotel to the other to pick people up and take them back in wheelchairs.
Absolutely.
It's pretty impressive.
So we have a motion.
Can we just have our conventions here every year, Carla? Maybe in the year 2050 we'll have the hotel down.
I want to have the convention here when I'm not otherwise responsible.
Yeah. Well, not otherwise responsible. I thought that was pretty typical, Mr. President.
No, well,
I wouldn't give him any of your blackjack money.
No, I won't do that. All those in favor of a due pass for these four resolutions signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the resolutions are adopted.
Mr. President?
Is there any other business, Ms. Jackson, that you need to conduct?
We have one more, but before I do that, may I have a moment of personal privilege?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know about the rest of you who chair committees or who chair boards or anything else, but I can assure you that I absolutely have the very best committee in this entire country, both organizations combined, ACB and NFB. I have a committee that, honestly, I have said this to them privately and I'll say it to them publicly, they don't need me as chair. I need them. They will do anything I ask them to do. They will write as many resolutions as I ask them to write. They never buck me. Of course, they're afraid of me too, But I just want to take a moment to say thank you so much to Paul, to Jeff, to Michael, to Alice.
There's two Michaels, so you better say thank you.
Oh, yes, absolutely, to Michael Squared, Michael Byington and Michael Malver, to Alice Richart, to Jill Noble, who's my partner in crime all the time, to Mark Reichert, to Charlie Hodge. Oh, Charlie's knowledge and his attention to detail and his memory is just phenomenal. We could not make it without Charlie Hodge on that committee. He's invaluable to us. Who am I missing, you guys? Anybody?
John.
Oh, my Excedrin migraine buddy. He brings me Excedrin migraine for when I have headaches.
The druggie.
He's my druggie.
Did we forget anybody else, Jeff? I don't think.
Becky Barnes is another.
Eric Bridges.
Eric Bridges. What would we do without Eric? He's he always comes in and he's the voice of reason, and he's always on top of what is going on Capitol Hill and where we are and kind of where we need to fashion these.
This is immensely bad habit of telling me no.
resolutions. Yeah, Eric likes that word. It's a great word. Yeah. But all of that to say that I am so honored to chair this committee and to work with such fine, fine people. And those of you who submit resolutions to us, thank you for giving us a job. Because it's a labor of love for us. And this is the committee that sets
the course for where we're going each year and what we're doing. And the support that Melanie gives us is so invaluable. So it's just great. And I'm sorry for the rest of you that you don't have such a great committee to work with.
Mr. President?
Who seeks... Well, I heard artists first a couple of minutes ago.
It's Joe DeFini from New York. We found a room key, so I don't know who it belongs to, but I can try all the rooms.
Okay.
Anyway,
take it to registration.
Okay, it's a New York table found it. We'll get it to the information desk.
Oh, the information
desk. Mr. President?
All right. Artis?
Thank you.
Did you want to make an announcement?
Yes. I was ill most of the day yesterday, so I was unable to participate in the business expo. So if anyone is interested in any of my books, my cookbook, my Braille cards, please contact my room, 1239. Thank you.
All right. Let's... Lost items, yeah. Personal kinds of things like that. Let's hold off till the end, please. One more resolution, Judy?
This is the last one. All right. And this is, Madam Secretary, 1122. And it is resolution on banning the use of cell phones while driving. While driving.
Yeah.
Driving.
Blind.
You blind people, well, quit using your cell phones when you're driving down the road. Here we go. Whereas 30% of Americans do not drive, and a large percentage of these are persons with disabilities, including persons who are blind or who have low vision. And whereas the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports that 70,000 pedestrians are injured and 5,000 are killed by motor vehicles each year, and whereas the NHTSA further reports that 80% of all accidents involve a distracted driver, often using a cell phone while driving, and whereas currently 30 states have distracted driving laws in place, and whereas having the national legislation, whereas having national legislation would create a single uniform rule providing for penalties to be imposed on drivers found to have used a cell phone while driving, and whereas Representative Carolyn McCarthy of New York has introduced national legislation, H.R. 2333, banning the use of handheld mobile devices while driving. Now, therefore, be it resolved... that ACB express and communicate its support of H.R. 2333 to Representative McCarthy, and that this organization supports national legislation to ban the use of cell phones while a driver is operating a motor vehicle, and the committee recommends a do pass.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for a do pass. Any discussion? Here. All right, someone is calling for the mic or calling for the floor.
I wonder if we should have texting in there because I know that's going to be the argument.
And, yeah.
Sounds like Gene Man, maybe.
Yeah.
If this passes, I'm going to have to quit calling my children while they're driving, huh?
This is Carla Westjohn from Nebraska.
Carla?
I support a ban on the use of cell phones while driving. However, it is a state issue. It is not impossible to have a ban on a nationwide ban in every state. That's why we have the things like the Commission on Uniform State Laws. This is a state issue. It is not the responsibility of the federal government.
Mr. President?
Who seeks the floor?
David Hanlon.
David?
Yes. If we do adopt this...
Let's have order.
If we do adopt this resolution, I would recommend a friendly amendment by adding and also text messaging.
That's fine. I was just up here talking about that.
Mr. President?
Let me respond to Carla's point, because my understanding is similar to hers, and I was wondering whether, and I hate to indulge in changing language on the floor, but wouldn't it have been more appropriate for that resolve clause to call upon this resolution to be sent to all ACB affiliates for action by their state governments, as we have a similar ban in California.
Mr. President, may I respond to that?
Sure.
One reason, the maker of this resolution is my dear friend and colleague from Texas, Larry Johnson. And we just experienced a very sad day. As some of you may know, our legislature meets every other year. And we had a bill before our legislature this year that was to ban cell phones while texting. And our illustrious governor vetoed the bill.
Mr. President?
So
Mr.
Chairman?
That is the impetus for why he wanted to push it toward federal legislation. Yeah. And then as he checked with the folks on the Environmental Access Committee, while this resolution doesn't come from them, there were some people on that committee that did some homework, and that's how we were able to find out that there is a precedence already set for this. And so I would, if I can take my hat off as chair for a moment, I would urge us to pass this resolution.
Well, I'll neither speak in favor or against, but that is, I think, a valid concern. Who seeks
Margie,
the floor? Margie?
I wish to speak in favor of this resolution. In the 70s, our nation passed a national speed limit to not exceed 55 miles an hour. And if they could do that from a federal level, they could pass this the banning of cell phones while driving.
Yeah, and the way that was done was the feds said, if you don't pass it in each state, we won't give you any federal highway dollars. Yeah, that's how that was done. All right, is there someone
point of information?
Wishing? We have a point of information.
Tom Mitchell from Salt Lake.
Yes, Tom.
Does this resolution not refer to a bill pending in the House of Representatives? If it does, I think I'm about to show my ignorance here. Are we in the business normally of endorsing stated legislation?
Well, not state legislation, but if
stated,
it's...
Stated.
Oh, we yes. have. Oh, certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. I don't recall hearing a piece of a specific bill referenced, but I may have missed it.
H.R. 20.
Mr. Chairman, there is
Oh, let's have order.
Shall I read the whereas clause to you that it's in, Mr. President?
No, I believe you.
Okay.
We've
Mr.
had
Chairman?
An oppose and a for. Is there another oppose?
Yes, Mr. President.
Get to a microphone, please.
Alice Richard.
Yes, Alice.
Even though I'm on the committee, I was against this bill, and let me just tell you why. Because the way this bill is in the with the H.R. bill, not even another Democrat has signed on to this bill, because what she states in the bill is that they will do just that, withhold federal transportation dollars. And what happens when we withhold federal transportation dollars is the public transit systems then by the states are the first ones who get cut. So why would we shoot ourselves in the foot by saying, you know, let's let the federal government withhold our transportation dollars, and then we don't have public transit. And states are doing it on, and I say we just need to advocate in your state. We did in Georgia. In fact, it's an automatic fine if you do get caught.
Thank you. Do we have someone speaking in favor?
Mr. Chairman.
Michael Byington.
Speaking in favor?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I am speaking in favor of the resolution, and I do want to comment on the background that Alice just discussed. That was discussed in the committee, and the issue of supporting the withdrawal of federal funds for violators, as you suggested was done with the speed limit law, was in fact the vehicle that was originally suggested in the resolution. We contacted the maker of the resolution and expressed to him Alice's concern, which is a very valid one, about the loss of federal transit funds through that penalty, and the result of that was a decision made to remove the specific reference to federal transportation funds. Now, I will certainly admit that all of us took a night off with the Resolutions Committee. I did the phone call and the negotiations with Mr. Johnson. He had agreed to remove the clauses with regard to federal funds. Given the fact that Carolyn McCarthy's bill does require that, we had also removed from the resolution, as I submitted it back to the Resolutions Committee, an expression of support per se of Carolyn McCarthy's bill. The version that was submitted to the Resolutions Committee commended Representative McCarthy for her concern and for her interest in the issue, but did not support her specific bill because of the federal transportation issue being in that bill. I would request that a substitute resolution be introduced, which is reflected in what was submitted by the maker of the resolution after he had a conversation with me that was done at the request of the Resolutions Committee. The bill needs to go on record as opposing the driving while using a cell phone, whether handheld or otherwise. It needs to support federal intervention in the issue. It does not need to specifically support Carolyn McCarthy's bill, and it most certainly does not need to support the withdrawal of federal funds that could affect public transportation.
Well, Michael,
I so move.
Well, that was a long way around. So you are moving to what?
I am removing to return to a version of the resolution which was submitted to the committee, which does not express specific support for Carolyn McCarthy's bill.
Well,
but supports the issue and commends her.
But since that resolution is not what was brought before us, short of
Mr. President,
Edwards,
if the desire of the body is to remove references to the federal bill, no. There can simply be an amendment to recommend their removal, and we can do that.
Well, the mandatory language that I'm proposing has already been written. Now, whether it is in the computer that Judy and Paul have at the dais, I don't know.
I don't think in the context of the committee I can regard it as a friendly amendment, so we'd have to vote on it.
Mr. Chairman.
So do you want to make a motion? See, the problem, Mr. Byington, is that that language may no longer be here, and the body will not have had an opportunity to hear it to see if it is more to their liking. That's the problem. So I don't, not only is that not a friendly amendment, but it might be a motion that, given a quick consult with the committee, I might have to rule out of order.
Yeah, exactly.
Point of information?
Who seeks the floor?
This is Ken Stewart.
Ken?
Michael made reference to a phrase, whether handheld or hands-free, and I think that's an important factor because there's some local legislation, New York is one, where it now is illegal to do things with your hands. And a lot of people think the hands-free is the solution. Obviously, a lot of people here, we don't think so. So I think if we want to make sure that hands-free operation is not a way around this, we need to say so in this resolution.
Well,
Mr. Chairman.
I think there are a lot of questions.
I didn't get a second on the last motion. I'd like to try a different one.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Hodge.
A couple of things. In response.
What was the clarification?
In response.
Oh. Order.
I think I'm recognized, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, you are recognized, Mr. Hodge.
All right, good.
In response to Carla Westjohn's view that this is a matter of states' rights and states' law, and the National Commission on Uniform State Laws, I would say that there are plenty of examples where Congress, by use of the Interstate Commerce Clause and the General Welfare Clause, has done and passed things that involve areas like this and people driving while talking on cell phones is a matter of interstate commerce. And I believe that the federal government, if it passes a uniform national law, that Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution, the so-called Supremacy Clause, would take effect and that federal law would be upheld. So I just wanted to make those points and say that I'm in favor of our passing the right. resolution as recommended by the Resolutions Committee.
All right.
I'll second it.
Mr. President.
Mr. Gray.
Yeah, I'd like, clearly there's quite a few issues here that are very difficult, that need some more consideration and work even within the committee, it seems to me. For that reason in particular, I would move to refer back to the committee, and they can bring it to us next year.
All right, Mr. Gray, we have a motion.
Sorry. I want to refer it to the Environmental Access Committee.
Can I second the motion?
So the motion is to refer to the Environmental Access Committee.
Right. And Jeff Tom seconds.
And we have a second. Any discussion just on the motion to refer to Environmental Access Committee to be referred, to be brought back in 2012?
Mr. President.
Margie Donovan, are you speaking in favor or against, Margie?
I am speaking against.
Casey, are you speaking in favor or against?
Speaking in favor.
All right, so we'll hear Margie first, then Casey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wish to urge all of us to defeat this motion to refer, as all we are doing is simply passing a resolution, not a law. Thank you.
Casey?
Mr. President, I would support referring. I think it's a good resolution, but I don't agree with supporting a specific bill that gets into federal funds where paratransit could be in danger with the reduction of funds, a state that don't uphold the law. I work a lot on public transportation, and they're always after public transportation on a state and national level. So I support referring it back to the Environmental Access Committee.
Mr. President. Is there someone wishing to speak in opposition?
I got a question, if that
counts. Yes, Mr. President.
Who's the lady?
Teddy Joy Ramhild.
And somebody had a question?
Jim Urock, ACB Nebraska.
Jim, then we'll take Teddy. Yes,
question.
Jim.
If this resolution does end up by passing, would we then, because of what the Federation is doing, send them a copy of it to encourage them not to drive?
Jim, all we're talking about now is specifically the motion to refer.
Right. I had to ask that question. So.
Yeah. Your question would be appropriate if the motion to refer doesn't pass. Teddy?
Thank you. I think that, for me, the bottom line is that this is about the safety of our lives, and it's going on currently. And I think the argument about states' rights versus federal rights versus all the other complications, I think we need to make a statement today. We have it here in front of us, and we need to make a statement today.
All right. Is there anyone wishing to speak in favor of the motion to refer?
Yes. Yeah.
Who's the lady?
This is Carla Westjohn from Nebraska again.
Carla?
There are multiple ways of doing this. Some of which, and the debate about state and federal rights, is a debate worth having. ACB is the American Council of the Blind, not the American Council of Blind Democrats.
All right. That's... All right. Is someone wishing to speak in opposition to the motion to refer?
Mr. President, Michael Byington, speaking in opposition to referral.
All right, Michael.
If you folks will vote down the opposition to referral, I believe I will be prepared, subsequent to that defeat, to make a motion which can be taken down quickly by the resolution's chair and can fix the problem. I would like to have an opportunity to do that. I would like to ask you not to refer to give me that opportunity.
All
Thank
right.
you.
We have
Mitch,
someone,
Pat Sheehan, are you speaking, a clarification.
Are you speaking in favor?
Neither. I'm curious as to why this is being referred back to environmental access, since it didn't come out of environmental access. This came from Larry Johnson direct, not environmental.
I will never speak for Mr. Gray, but I suspect that his point is that because it is an environmental access issue, they should have an opportunity to weigh in.
Mr. President,
they didn't want
I'll be in favor, I guess.
All right. We have an in favor, Mr. Tom.
And I think you basically did hit it on the head. The reasoning behind it is to we're not opposed to getting something done on this bill. But number one, it doesn't look like AB 2333 is going to pass right now. So I don't really see this as an issue that is imminent in terms of us weighing in. I think we can get this done next year, get it done in a considered way that will make total sense and won't be slapdash. I know Michael's trying to put together a motion that may well work, but I think it would probably be better to have the best possible resolution that we can on this issue. Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can vote on the motion to refer. If you vote yes or aye, you are voting to refer it to the Environmental Access Committee. If you vote nay. Donna, you know that sigh, don't you? Folks, we're talking about cell phones. How ironic that the vibrating function doesn't seem to be in operation. All those in favor of referring this resolution to the Environmental Access Committee signify by saying aye. Opposed. Despite Margie and several other screamers, the motion carries.
Mr. President.
Ms. Donovan.
I wish to see if there are 25 people in the room that would stand for a roll call on that.
Second.
All right.
It's my democratic rights to ask.
Who do we have as counters?
Three of them.
Are you going to stand?
We have Sharon, and we have Don Stevens.
That's okay.
And there's, who's that?
Elba? It might be lonely,
Melva.
But it's
and Melva. The rest of you, if you don't wish this matter to go to a vote or to be to have a record vote, please be seated. You saved the best for the last,
yes,
Ms. Jackson.
Did.
I lost my bet anyway.
You just never know what the best is, Mr. President.
Already turned up my mic.
Yeah, they'll turn it back on.
No, they have turned it off.
Oh. Do we have 25?
People are standing after we count in the section.
What we are voting on.
You didn't ask people to stand, Mitch.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Did.
I said.
Sorry. I apologize.
I said if you are wishing a record vote, we need 25. Please stand. Oh.
Tell everybody to be still until we count.
Please stay in one place.
There's more than 25. 27. There are 27 people standing.
There is more than 25.
All right. Yes, sir.
All right. Be seated.
Give me my mic. Oh, I got it.
Those wishing, remember this only needs a simple majority. Those wishing to refer the resolution to the Environmental Access Committee for their review, please stand.
We need Lane in here.
Hmm?
Don't we need Lane in here for when I call the affiliates?
Lane, are you here? We need. We will need Lane for the vote, for the count.
No, oh gosh, no. I would never turn my computer off. Not till the final.
Carla, can you
hits.
Call Lane if he's not here? It ain't over till it's over.
That's right. We got to find a fat lady to sing and then.
Let's have some door prizes. All right.
I've got one. $25 from the Arizona Council of the Blind.
Kathy Lamb from Tennessee. Ann Sims from Georgia.
Just don't stand up. Wave your hand. Unless you're already standing, that is, of course.
All right. Okay.
She's not here. Next.
Uh-oh.
It gets harder to multitask the later in the week it gets.
Okay. Next prize is the from
did
the guy.
I'm sorry. Was she here? Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. I missed it. Next.
All right. Next prize is the from the Guide Dog Foundation. It's a stuffed dog. The bro says dogs, but I think there's only one in the bag.
Okay. And also with that is a really nice insulated cup from South Carolina Council of the Blind. And I've got Angela McCarty from Kentucky. Angela McCarty. Yeah. Are you here, Angela? Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, would you like another door prize?
No, I'd like, let me beg your indulgence for a moment so I can deal with an issue here. Hang on.
All right.
We have misplaced Lane, and we just lost Don Stevens for a moment. So, I'm asking Sharon to keep count, to jot the count down. Who's coming back? Don, I need you to jot down. Sharon's going to give you the partial vote count on this side of the room on the. I'm sorry, I missed that. We'll get to that. Are we ready for folks to sit? And where is Lane? Sharon? Lane, you can't.
I'm sorry.
All right, we've got that count. Those of you, you may be seated. Those of you who are opposing the motion to refer, please stand. Now they're voting. Sorry, Lane.
Kimberly. Kim.
It ain't over till it's over.
What should we do?
So we'll be out here by 5
o'clock. Are there rail cell phones out?
By 4 o'clock.
Driving. Are there rail cell phones that you can use while you're driving?
Well, Teddy, it's not a lost cause yet.
And then we can have our NFB
car.
I think
I'm voting
11.
This should not have waited for so late days. But that's a okay.
Refresh a bump.
You say when you're not doing the job. Donna, you better be sitting. She's not going to have husband trouble.
11.
So are we having fun yet?
Now that I'm sitting.
I don't see any reason.
To refer or not to refer, this is the question.
On such an important issue.
It's going to get me from the
Mr. President, this is Catalina Royson with a question.
I'm sorry?
It's Catalina Royson with a question, unrelated. Is it possible to find out what the registration count is so far?
I'm not, probably not. We will, given everything that's going on even toward the end of the week, we'll try to get some numbers out, but I don't think it's going to happen right now. Door prizes, Aaron?
All right. Mr. President, I have $50 from the Washington Council of the Blind.
And the winner?
And?
Cindy Vega from Utah.
Excellent. Don't stand up, Cindy. Just wave. Unless you're already standing.
And
next.
Yes. And, Mr. President, we have 2 door prizes left.
Wow. We did a good job of catching up.
We did indeed, sir.
Let's do one now and one at adjournment.
All right. $25 door prize from ACB, Wisconsin.
Marco Giannotti from Illinois.
Not here.
Elena Eller from North Carolina.
I believe she is.
I take it that she's here.
All right, we will do one more at the close
one more at the adjournment.
Of festivities. Let me... you may be seated. And now Marlena gets an encore performance to call the roll.
Gosh, and I thought I was only going to have to do it once. Okay. Alabama, 6 votes. Alabama, 6 votes.
They're gone.
All right. Alabama does not respond. Alaska, 14 votes.
14 votes, regrettably, yes.
14, yes. Arizona, see, I know where you belong. 4 votes. Could we please have order?
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I'm very confused right now. So can I just get a point of clarification?
Desi, if you vote yes, you are voting to refer.
Okay, that's what I was. Okay.
Okay.
So I would say Arizona, 4 votes, no.
4, no. Arkansas, 4 votes.
4, yes.
4, yes. California, 25 votes.
Okay, yes. Here I go. I'm going to get mixed up. It's late. 20 to refer.
20, yes.
And 5.
And 5, no.
No.
Is that correct?
Correct.
20 yes, 5 no. Colorado, 5 votes.
Colorado, 5 no.
5 no. Connecticut, 1 vote.
Connecticut, 1 vote no.
1 no. D.C., 2 votes.
D.C., 2 yes.
2 yes. Delaware, 1 vote.
Delaware, 1 vote no.
1 no. Florida, 25 votes.
Florida has 17 for and 8 against.
17 yes, 8 no. Georgia, 11 votes.
8 yes, 3 no.
8 yes, 3 no. Hawaii, 2 votes.
Hawaii, 2 votes, yes.
2 yes. Idaho, 1 vote.
Idaho, 1 vote, no.
1 no. Illinois, 5 votes.
Illinois Council of the Blind, KS 2, let's make sure I get this right, 3 yes, 2 no.
3 yes, 2 no. Iowa, 4 votes.
Madam?
Sir?
Madam Secretary?
Yes, sir?
I believe we skipped Indiana.
Oh. Oh, I believe you're right. God, I just moved people around. Indiana, 9 votes.
American Council of the Blind of Indiana cast 9 votes in favor of referral.
9 yes. My apologies. Iowa, 4 votes.
All right, Iowa, 4 votes, no.
4 no. Kansas, 6 votes.
Kansas, 6 votes, no.
6 no. Bluegrass, 4 votes. Bluegrass. And one final time, Bluegrass. 4 votes. They do not respond. Kentucky, 14 votes.
Kentucky, 7 yes, 7 no.
Kentucky, 7 yes, 7 no. Louisiana, 4 votes.
Louisiana votes 1 yes, 3 no.
1 yes, 3 no. Maryland, 4 votes.
Maryland, 2 votes yes, 2 votes no.
2 yes, 2 no. Bay State, 8 votes. Bay State?
Bay State Council of the Blind casts 1 vote yes, 7 votes no.
1 yes, 7 no. Michigan, 6 votes.
Michigan casts 6 votes yes.
6 yes. Minnesota, 3 votes.
Minnesota votes 1.5 yes, 1.5 no.
1.5 yes, 1.5 no. Missouri, 9 votes.
What? Mississippi,
Mississippi,
maybe?
Mississippi, I saw Mississippi and said Missouri. It's a long day, kids.
She needs a geography lesson.
No, I need
it's
coffee.
It's late in the day, right?
I need coffee. 9 votes, Mr. Duke?
Okay. Mississippi cast 5 votes, no, 4 yes.
Okay. Mississippi, 5 no, 4 yes. Missouri, 25 votes.
Missouri votes unit rule, 25 yes. And we were under the impression we still had 25 votes. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, I need coffee. I'm sorry, 25 yes?
Yes.
Okay, 25 yes. Montana, 2 votes.
2 votes, yes.
2 yes. Nebraska, 3 votes.
All right, here we go. Nebraska, 3 yes.
3 yes, thank you. Nevada, 4 votes.
Nevada votes, 4 votes, yes.
4 yes. New Jersey, 6 votes.
New Jersey, 6 votes, yes.
6 yes. New Mexico, 1 vote.
New Mexico, 1 vote. We are split here in New Mexico. 0.5 yes, 0.5 no.
0.5 yes, 0.5 no. New York, 8 votes.
New York, 7.5 yes, 0.5 no.
7.5 yes, 0.5 no. North Carolina, 7 votes.
North Carolina, 7 votes yes.
7 yes. North Dakota, 7 votes.
Madam Secretary, North Dakota, home of the Medora musical, votes 7 votes yes.
7 yes. Ohio, 10 votes.
Ohio, 10 votes, 9 yes, 1 no.
9 yes, 1 no. Oklahoma, 24 votes.
Oklahoma's 24 votes, yes.
24, yes. Oregon, 8 votes.
Oregon votes 8 votes, yes.
8 yes. Pennsylvania, 23 votes.
Madam Secretary, Pennsylvania votes 2 yes, 21 no.
2 yes, 21 no from Pennsylvania. South Carolina, 1 vote. South Carolina, and South Carolina does not respond. Tennessee, 7 votes.
7 votes, no.
7 no. Hang on just a second here. Texas, 14 votes.
Texas votes 2.5 yes, 11.5 no.
2.5 yes, 11.5 no. Utah, 25 votes.
Utah votes 22.5 yes, 2.5 no.
22.5 yes, 2.5 no. Old Dominion, 3 votes.
Old Dominion, 1.5 yes, 1.5 no.
1.5 yes, 1.5 no. Virginia Association of the Blind, 5 votes. Oh, I am so out of it. 5 votes for Virginia. How do you want to cast them? See, they did it to me again. Virginia, one last call. Virginia, 5 votes. Virginia does not respond. I don't blame them. Washington, 16 gorgeous votes.
Washington cast 13 votes yes, 3 votes no.
13 yes and 3 no. Mountain State, 3 votes.
Mountain State Council cast 3 votes yes.
3 yes. Okay. Wisconsin, 3 votes.
Wisconsin cast 1.5 yes, 1.5 no.
1.5 yes, 1.5 no. AAVL, 1.5 votes.
AAVL votes 1.5 votes, yes.
1.5 yes. AVIA, 2 votes.
2 votes, yes.
2 yes. ACB Diabetics, 2 votes.
ACB Diabetics, 1.5 yes, 0.5 no.
1.5 yes, 0.5 no. Government employees, 1 vote.
Government employees, 1 vote, no.
1 no. ACB Human Service Professionals, 1 vote.
ACB Human Services, 1 yes.
1 yes. ACB Lions, 4 votes.
ACB Lions cast 4 votes, yes.
4 yes. ACB Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
ACB Radio Amateurs, 1 yes, 1 no.
1 yes, 1 no. BITS, 2 votes.
Bits casts votes 2 yes.
2 yes. Blind Pride, 8 votes.
Blind Pride, 8 no.
I'm sorry, 8 what?
8 is no.
Mercy. 8 no.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rob. ACB...
BRL.
Yeah. ACB...
It's Braille Revival League.
Yeah.
And Braille Revival League casts 5.5 yes, just 5.5 no.
Just a second. Sorry, I haven't...
No problem.
I have a technology issue again. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. Braille Revival League, give me your votes again, please.
Sure. 5.5 yes, 5.5 no.
5.5 yes, 5.5 no. CCLVI, 13 votes.
CCLVI, 6 yes, 7 no.
6 yes, 7 no. Families, 1 vote.
Families cast 1 vote, yes.
1 yes. Friends in Art, 2 votes.
Friends in Art, 1 vote yes, 1 vote no.
1 yes, 1 no. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users cast 25 no.
25 no. Okay. Ivy, 2 votes.
Ivy cast 1 vote yes, 1 vote no.
1 yes and 1 no. No. Library Users, 4 votes.
Library Users vote 2 yes, 2 no.
2 yes and 2 no. Students, 2 votes.
Students, 2 votes yes.
2 yes. And teachers, if I can find your vote count here, sorry. Teachers, 2 votes. Teachers. Do you mean the students are here and the teachers are not? Whoa! Madam Secretary should put that in her record. Okay? The teachers are not here. Oh, wait.
We got a teacher coming.
But is the teacher coming a delegate? All right.
She's the alternate.
She's the alternate.
Right here.
My apologies. I didn't know my alternate wasn't here. This
That's
is Carla
okay.
Hayes.
That's okay.
That my delegate wasn't here. Anyhow, the teachers are going to cast 2 votes no.
2 no. All right. Vendors, 25 votes.
RSVA cast 25 yes.
25 yes. And finally, veterans, 1 vote.
Veterans, 1 yes.
1 yes. Mr. President, that is the roll.
All right.
We shall have a count in short order, I hope. Let me take a moment, and once the resolutions are concluded, remember, we have a couple of minutes for old business, anything that is pending, and any new business, so don't make a mad dash out of here. I think we have a vote count. For the standing vote, we have... ...284 in favor of referral, 102 against. And the affiliate vote... 307.5 to 168.5, again, to refer. The resolution is referred to the Environmental Access Committee. The total vote is 591.5 to 270.5. That's the final vote. And don't ask me or Lane for the percentages. You can work it out. All right, Judy, any final comments?
That's it.
Thank you very much to the Resolutions Committee.
just say thank you very much for your confidence in our committee and the work that we do. And I will just tell you, sometimes these resolutions, just because I don't work, for example, in the area of environmental access, sometimes these get very difficult to read just because of my lack of experience. But if you'll be patient with me, I'll be patient with you.
And we need a little more patience this time of day. I want to personally thank the ACB staff, particularly Lane and our vote counters today. Give them a hand. We had two record votes, which isn't too bad. And I want to thank our parliamentarian, Don Stevens. He didn't have a whole lot to do, but it's good to have him here to make sure we do things right. Is there any old business to come before the body?
I don't know if it's old or new business. I want to do a happy anniversary for the ACB for their 50th.
All right. Are we ready to sing happy anniversary to... Well, I was asked. Can we sing it in our hearts?
I will do that. Thank you very much.
All right. Do we have any other old business to come before the body? Hearing none, is there any new business to come before the body as our session winds down? Hearing none, let's have our final door prize, Aaron Ross.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. I have one more door prize, $25 from the Utah Council of the Blind.
Lori Zertucci, I think, from Texas.
Is she here?
Yay! Okay.
She is here. All right. Just a reminder, the Life Members reception is 5:30 this evening. I think it's Southern Pacific. Oh, it's Poolside Terrace. Thank you. I left my cheat sheet at upstairs.
Mr. President.
Poolside Terrace. Hold on. The banquet is at 7 in the in this ballroom, right? No, I don't have...
Oh, you're...
B and C.
I was going to.
Pavilion B, yes. There will be most of the folks who are sitting at the head table know it. Please be there by a few minutes to 7 so we can seat you appropriately. And Carla, I need to talk to you and confirm the arrangements for a Jeopardy this evening. Did I hear someone calling for the floor?
Karen Campbell.
I'm sorry, the lady.
Karen Campbell.
Karen.
This is a question for anyone who has an assistive listening device and is not going to the banquet. Where do they turn them in, please?
A good question. Lane, where are we turning them in? For folks who are not going to the banquet.
And what about badges?
Same for badges. All right, go ahead, Lane.
Right after this body is excused, you can go to registration. I'll be there, and you can turn in your ALDs there. As far as badges are concerned, we don't recycle them, so you can just throw them in the trash.
All right.
Mr. President, I would just like to take one moment.
Let's have order. We're almost done.
I would just like to take one moment to, and this may have been done and I missed it, thank Aaron and Jackie who are doing the door. You guys did fabulously.
Yes, they did.
I can't really remember seeing it go so flawlessly and so smoothly, and that's a great job. And even though you didn't call my name, thank you anyway.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron and Jackie Ross. Absolutely outstanding job. It's not easy because you always have to be ready.
Mr. President, this is Marcia Dresser from
Marcia Dresser.
May I make one quick announcement?
Let's have order. Yes, Marcia.
Anyone interested in satellite radio channel listings or a comprehensive Braille chart for those learning Braille, please see us in room 1551. Thanks.
Very good. We are now prepared to entertain a motion to adjourn. I heard several such requests. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, don't speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, the 50th Annual Conference and Convention of the American Council of the Blind stands adjourned.